Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. All for Laughs, the artist of the famous cartoonist course, and Anita Kuhn's original sisters, Portraits of Tenacity and Courage, are two of the current exhibitions on view at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. All for Laughs brings together a selection of more than 75 works, including original process and finished artworks from the permanent illustration collection of the Norman Rockwell Museum. It also contains a dynamic video component that delves into the history of the cartoonist course. Anita Kuhn's original sisters, Portraits of Tenacity and Courage, is a series of portraits that reveal and honors the contributions of history-making women. To create this series, Anita carefully researched, wrote about, and portrayed each subject, sometimes compiling scant available information to establish a more complete picture. To tell us more about all of this, we welcome Stephanie Plunkett, Deputy Director, Chief Curator for the Norman Rockwell Museum, one of our dear, dear friends on this program. Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
So good to see you, Joe. Thank you.
Wonderful to see you. Thank you, as always, for being here and for bringing this wonderful work to our attention. We also welcome artist Anita Kuhn's. Hello, Anita. How are you?
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Great pleasure to have you. And we also welcome Jane Dini, who is curator of exhibitions at NRM and curator of Anita Kuhn's. So, welcome all. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you on the program as well. All right, Stephanie, let's begin.
Okay.
Of how these particular exhibitions came to be.
Well, you know, we like to actually program for many different audiences and many different topics. And Anita has been working with the museum over the course of many years on different projects. And she had this incredible Original Sisters project where she had been doing portraits of very important and in some cases little known women who have worked across decades and cultures. So we wanted to highlight that important work. And I know Jane and Anita will talk a lot more about that. But we also like to highlight aspects of the museum's permanent illustration collection. And one of those was this famous cartoonist course, which was originated in 1956 in Westport, Connecticut, highlighting the work of 12 famous cartoonists at the time who really tried to educate the American public on what you would have to do if you wanted to be a cartoonist yourself.
What was Norman Rockwell's participation in that course?
Well, Rockwell actually was part of the original 1948 famous artist school course. And that was a course featuring the work of 12 illustrators who were teaching the art of illustration. So this is way before Zoom and online courses. And this was really a correspondence course that, you know, if you had an interest, you know, a salesman would come to your home and sign you up, and you would receive course books and then kind of be expected or encouraged to do the assignments and send them in to Westport, Connecticut, where they'd be corrected. So Rockwell was a member of that original famous famous artist school course starting in 1948.
So how did the material that you have come into your possession from the cartoonist course?
That's a great question. The last owners of the famous artist school, which encompassed the famous cartoonist course, Magdalene and Robert Livesey, actually made a generous donation to the museum. And that donation comprised about 8,000 drawings, believe it or not, by the famous illustrators and the famous cartoonists. And, of course, the cartoonists course includes names that many people will know. So Rube Goldberg, Al Capp, Willard Mullen, the famous cartoonist who drew the Brooklyn Bum for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and many others who, you know, were very prominent during the mid-20th century.
So what was it like putting this particular show together of trying to show the various components? I'll ask you about that, and then I want to go into the video as well.
You know, it was a lot of fun. The drawings are actually, in many cases, process drawings. So they will literally show you how to draw a human head, how to draw a figure in motion in a step-by-step way, you know, how to emphasize expression, in some cases, stereotypes, to get your point across. But, you know, of course, in those days, cartooning was literally everywhere. So the prospect of someone actually making a living as a cartoonist was probably pretty good if they stuck with it.
What do you think people will take away and really understand, especially in the context of being in the Norman Rockwell Museum as a result of this show?
I think that, you know, artists who are visual humorists have a lot to think about. I think there's an effortless quality in a great cartoon. But what the famous cartoonists do is break down all of the different aspects of things that they have to think about to make something funny. And, you know, it's kind of this combination of beautiful drawing, you know, just human insight, observation, and then in some cases a great gag line. So artists had to be a lot of things to create even one simple cartoon.
I do want to talk to Anita about this amazing exhibit, Anita Kuhn's original Sisters, Portraits of Tenacity and Courage. Jane Dinney is the director of exhibitions at the Norman Rockwell Museum and curator of this exhibit. Jane, how give us a sense of how this came about and what it was like putting together.
Oh, it's been a remarkable experience to work with Anita so closely. She's done almost to date 500 portraits of women who should be known to all of us. And of those, we were able to put 287 of those portraits in three of our galleries alongside an introduction which will allow visitors to get a sense of an artist who's had really over 40 years, and she's almost that young. She's not that old. She was a really a precocious talent, so young. And I wanted people to get a sense of this career over time that led up to her project, Original Sisters, which took place during the COVID-19 pandemic. And I can let Anita say a little bit more about that. But visitors will walk into the first gallery, meet Anita in the form of a fabulous self-portrait, which I insisted she put in the show. She said, no, it's all about these women. And I said, no, I'm the curator, so I get to put you up first, so everyone gets to, you know, visually shake hands with you and then admire what courage she had to stop a kind of deadline-driven career and take 2 years to paint a portrait a day of a remarkable woman. Anita?
Yeah, Anita, tell us about that process of doing one a day, which seems to be quite a charge.
Well, I mean, I've been for over 45 years. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I've been an editorial illustrator. So I've worked, you know, and I've done a lot of portraits in those years. So I used to do a lot of rock and roll portraits for Rolling Stone magazine, and I did Time covers, you know, portraits of famous people, and I worked for some of the entertainment magazines, so it was all, I was doing an awful lot of portraits, and so when the pandemic rolled around, I kind of realized that I was going to have a lot of time on my hands because everything was so stuck, nothing was happening, and I remember thinking, I just started doing some research, and I found these really extraordinary women, and I thought, how come I never heard of them? And so I thought, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to draw 10 portraits. And then I did 10 portraits, And then I thought, okay. And I kept finding more and more of these women. And I thought, oh, I have to draw them. I have to draw them. And then it was 30, and then it was 50, and now it's almost 500. And I mean, I could keep doing this forever, but I don't know. Maybe I will. We'll see. But so during the pandemic, you know, I'm as an illustrator, I'm used to working very quickly. I mean, when I used to do time covers, I had to do them in a day. I mean, I would have to do sketches really, really quickly, send them in, the editors would approve the art, and then I would have pretty much a day to finish a time cover. And I think all of my other colleagues would agree that it was a real adrenaline rush. So I kind of set out to do one portrait a day. And, you know, the pandemic was a really scary time. So a lot of these women, I drew real inspiration from. They did extraordinary things. And I felt every day I was spending, you know, with one extraordinary woman, you know, I painted her, and then the next day it would be someplace else. So the whole project was, to me, very, very inspirational.
Did you have a certain criteria of what that particular woman that you were doing that day had accomplished and that would make the cut, as it were, for you to spend time on a portrait?
Well, often the criteria really was just, that's an incredible accomplishment. Why haven't I heard of this woman? And I sort of found all these women who seemed to have fallen through the cracks. And so for me, it really was that, you know, I was discovering these extraordinary subjects, these incredible women, and I wanted other people to know about them too. So often it was really nothing more than that. One thing that was really important to me, though, was diversity. I wanted to make sure that there were all kinds of women, you know, women from the beginning of time, women from the different disciplines, women from science, women from sports, women from the arts. So that was really, that was one of the most important things to me.
Jane.
And Joe, that was Anita's vision, that all of these women be presented together. So there's no breaking women up in categories or groups. All of them are in this marvelous sort of array together. And that's really the strength of the installation design. That is Anita's vision. And I'm so happy to have had the support of Norman Rockwell Museum to be able to realize that.
I don't know much about this work. You all are the experts, but Jane and Stephanie, over 200 pieces of work seems like a lot in a room. That's a lot, right?
You know, it is a lot. And the thing that I think we wanted, maybe Jane will speak to this too, but we wanted it to be an immersive experience because, you know, the fact is that there are so many thousands of women who've done remarkable things. And this show actually gives that sense when you walk in the room that, you know, we're surrounded by great, great women.
Jane?
Since, you know, the Renaissance, there have been galleries of great men in libraries and in palazzos. The beginning of our own revolution, which we're going to celebrate the semi-quincentennial at Norman Rockwell in a year's time. But if you think about it, all of these galleries have been to commemorate great men. And so one of the things Anita really turns that up on its head is to present all of these women. So it's really something that there is historical precedent for, but in Anita's vision, it's quite new, quite daring.
And Anita, talk about that a little bit, about because they are so they're so colorful. The portraits are just very kind of full frontal and really grab you and give you a sense that you want to know more about that individual.
Well, I hope that was the plan. I mean, I hope that that's what people take away from it. But I made the deliberate choice to, this is a show for everybody. I mean, I wanted to make it really colorful, and, you know, this is for little girls and little boys and teenagers and men and women. And, you know, there's something really, I think, for everybody. I wanted to make sure that I presented the portraits in such a way where it was a celebration. You know, it was like, wow, look at this. And there are lots of great stories. There are pirates. I mean, there are all kinds of amazing women from all walks of life. And I really, you know, I think I really intended to make it a show for everybody.
For the women who are still with us, have you heard from them and their reaction as to the portraits?
I have, yeah. I recently heard from someone. I painted her daughter, and it's a very sad story. Her name is Charlotte Figge, and I painted her portrait. She died. Well, it's a longer story than that. Maybe people will have to come to the museum to learn about her. But I heard from her mother, and I was, you know, we were both kind of in tears. I mean, she was so thrilled that somebody had portrayed her daughter. And it was just really it was a really moving experience. It's always really incredible when, you know, something that I do alone in my studio is really able to touch somebody. It's really a profound experience.
So Sarah Boardman is a portrait painter. She was the woman responsible for the Donald Trump painting in the Colorado State House that was removed because he didn't like it. How would you react to that if one of your subjects said that they didn't like? I can't imagine anyone doing that except perhaps for the president. But of how you would take that.
Yeah, I've read about that. I've actually been asked to write a little thing about that. So, but well, okay. First of all, nobody knows exactly what they look like, and I don't know too many people who like portraits of themselves. I frankly didn't think that portrait was bad at all. I didn't know, you know. I mean, it didn't portray him as an Adonis, but.
No, the thing about that portrait, it is, it looked too lifelike. It looked just like him.
Well,
sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I thought it was interesting because that portrait also very much looks like his son, Baron. I thought, you know, there was a family resemblance
very
that
much
came
so.
Out
very
in that portrait as well. It's also been hanging for quite a while, and it was something that that the Republicans had gathered money and did a GoFundMe and had the painting put up. But I was just interested in how, for you as an artist, of what it is like if someone were to come to you and say, "Ooh, boy, I don't like how I look in this."
Well, thankfully, people don't really tell me if they don't like something. But I'm sure, you know, I mean, a lot of the stuff, for example, that I used to do for Rolling Stone, I mean, we were poking gentle fun at rock and roll stars and how idiosyncratic they were. So, you know, I could understand. But I honestly, knock on wood, have not heard too many bad things through the years, honestly. So either people are not telling me or... You know, if anything, I actually get positive reviews. So
yeah, probably most people wouldn't be that petty.
Well, it just seems like it's another distraction, honestly. I don't think that portrait was that bad. I don't know why he's so upset. There's a lot worse stuff on the internet.
You know, it is. It's fascinating to me in looking at this, the book, as well as the exhibition, because there is such a beauty, and you learn so much. The descriptions that you've written are rather short, but they tell us so much about that individual, which is a real art in and of itself.
Well, I thought it was important, and the Norman Rockwell Museum, I'm eternally grateful to them for showing this work, and it is an illustration museum. I mean, Norman Rockwell was an illustrator. I've always been an illustrator. My work is narrative, and so I thought it really needed just a few sentences about what the woman had accomplished, and if anybody wants more information, they can find more information, but I thought it really needed some kind of explanation, because otherwise it just wouldn't have had the same impact?
You know, one of the things I wanted to mention that Anita's done with her portraits that visitors will find so enchanting is that there's these embellishments that give a sense of their personalities. For instance, Greta Thunberg has a glorious crown of flowers and pollinators, butterflies and bees. And Joan Didion, one of my favorites, she's smoking a cigarette and she's in her, you know, that I love that sort of her arms are crossed. She's holding a cigarette, but the smoke from the cigarette is her signature. So there's ways in which that Anita sort of built out or built into these portraits the personalities. And in the most, I think, extraordinary ones are the artists, many of whom she didn't learn in art school, and she's portrayed the artists in their style. So that's been lots of fun.
The exhibit Anita, is... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I wanted to know if Anita wanted to say more about that.
Oh, no, you're exactly right, Jane. I mean, you know, as working as an illustrator, that's what we do. I mean, we try to make as authentic an image as possible. So whatever I could find from the particular woman's life, I tried to add in a subtle way.
The exhibit is Anita Kuhn's original sister's portraits of tenacity and courage. And there's also a beautiful book published by Pantheon of the portraits as well. Stephanie, the other exhibit, All for Laughs, the artists of the famous cartoonist course. And the one thing I wanted to get to real quick, because we're almost out of time, but there's an incredible video component to that exhibit as well.
Yes, actually, that was a fun thing to produce. We actually asked contemporary illustrators to do the assignments in the famous cartoonist course and to comment upon them. So we have Emily Flake, who's a New Yorker cartoonist, Lewis Henry Mitchell, who works for Sesame Workshop, Mark Rosenthal, a wonderful Berkshire region illustrator, and Elwood Smith, who actually took the course when he was a boy, all commenting upon the course itself. So it is online. You can find it on YouTube or on our website. It's a lot of fun.
Again, All for Laughs, the artist of the famous cartoonist course, and Anita Kuhn's original sister's portraits of tenacity and courage are two of the current exhibitions on view at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. You can find out more by going to nrm.org, nrm.org. Stephanie, Anita, and Jane, an absolute delight to speak to
you
all.
Joe.
Thank you so much for the beautiful
Thank
work.
You.
And making it available to us. Thank you.
Thank
and Stephanie,
you so
always
much.
Good to see you.
Great to see you, too. We appreciate it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.